We're going to hear a continuous reading by five of us gathered here tonight from Matthew chapter 26.
The plot against Jesus. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the place of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus on some sly way and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people.
Jesus anointed at Bethany. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her."
Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over.
On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover.
When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Thank you for the readings. In his gospel, Matthew puts the Last Supper and the cross within the context of the signs of the end of the age, which goes on to prophesy Jesus' second coming. Christ's actual return is in the Father's knowledge alone. Not even the Son knows. The passing of 2,000 years since is no reason for us today to be less aware of Jesus' return in glory. And it's one we are to look for and to await expectantly in faith. In chapter 26, Matthew draws us to the drama that is swiftly unfolding, which is why I've had it read in those sections by different people tonight. A drama that's swiftly unfolding. Firstly, to the illegal gathering in verse 3 of the religious authorities at the high priest's palace to plot the arrest and the death of Jesus. Among those authorities were Sadducees, Pharisees, the scribes, Caiaphas, the very high priest of Israel, and with them the chief elders of the 12 tribes of Israel. This was a hastened gathering of the Sanhedrin prior to the Passover. It was not a legal, scheduled open court. This took place at the very same time as Jesus, elsewhere, is reminding the 12 that the Passover, that at the Passover, he will be handed over. He's going to be betrayed, and he's going to be crucified. Jesus knew the path awaiting him in being the Saviour and the Redeemer. Secondly, Matthew takes us to a social meal in Bethany, where a woman identified by John in his gospel is Mary, Martha's sister, who pours a jar of the most expensive perfume over Jesus' head. All, and the word in the scripture is all the disciples criticized it as a waste by saying it could have been sold and the money used to help the poor. Matthew records Jesus saying, "You'll always have the poor with you. What she has done to me was beautiful, and it was to prepare me for my burial." Again, Jesus knew the path awaiting him in being the Saviour and the Redeemer. Professor Tasker, Doctor of Divinity, in his Matthew Gospel, writes of Mary that she had an intuitive appreciation of Jesus' death, which the disciples had yet failed to grasp. Professor Tasker comments, as she gazes across the supper table into the eyes of Jesus, she sees the shadow of the cross lying heavily upon him as she penetrates its meaning. She knows that he is ready and willing to die. Her sacrifice of the most expensive vase of pure nard being broken open is symbolic of his much greater sacrifice. Her broken vase, a picture of his own body, soon to be broken on the cross. I felt that was a very eloquent chapter by Professor Tasker. Thirdly, Matthew switches right back to the religious authorities. And there, in verse 14, is Judas Iscariot bartering with them a price for handing Jesus over to them. And from that time, he watches for an opportunity to hand him over to them. Eating the Passover with Jesus had been usual for the disciples during the two previous years, but here in verse 17, it has become known to us as the Last Supper. Jesus is very aware his appointed time is near, and he says so. He again knows what is ahead of him, being the Saviour and the Redeemer. Even though Judas had sold him out, the money in his pocket, there he is at the Last Supper with all the other 11 disciples. And as they were eating, Jesus says to them, "One of you is going to betray me." That causes no end of distress, leading to the disciples to question their own selves, saying, "Surely not I." But Jesus knows and says, "The one who has dipped his hand into the Passover bowl with me will betray me." In Eastern culture, eating from the common bowl was to say to the host, "I am your friend. I will not hurt you." During the supper, Jesus takes bread. He gives thanks to God. He breaks it and says of it to the 12, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." Nothing could be more meaningful, for it represents his substitutionary sacrifice, him in our place, having the sin of the world, inclusive of our sin, laid upon him to pay the ransom, the price through his own suffering and death. This was his atoning work on the cross for us all. In giving the bread, he says to the 12, "This is my body given for you." Then Jesus took the cup of wine. He gives thanks to God and gave it to the 12, saying, "Yes." And at this stage, Judas, has not left. Jesus says, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." By this invitation, God signifies his salvation is available, for by Jesus' blood shed and given, we are washed clean, forgiveness guaranteed. Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross has done it all. In giving the cup, Jesus says, "Drink from it in remembrance of me." John in his gospel records that Judas, on receiving the Passover sop, that sacred portion of the Passover bread given by the host to the one he places the highest favour upon, Satan at that moment enters into Judas, who then gets up and goes out into the night of betrayal. The scene is set. The crucifixion is now but a night away, and Jesus, in this most significant Last Supper, inaugurates a meal which will be central to his church from that time on. in keeping his saving work ever before us as the suffering servant, the Christ, the Saviour, the ransom for our sins and our Redeemer. And this is what we are here to remember and partake of in this Maundy-Thursday Communion Supper, and to take part of it in faith, rightly placed in Jesus.